Let's start with reasonable doubt. That is correct. We have the burden of reasonable doubt, and we accept that burden. But just like every other jury that's ever convicted anybody in the history of time, you are going to have some doubt. Because unless you were standing there, unless we had 360 video cameras all the way around, you always have a doubt in every single case. It just can't be a reasonable doubt. I think the thought experiment that Mr. Robles told you about with the cat and the box, and you put the cat in the box and you come back, there's a hole in it, that hole is reasonable doubt. Well, the way you overcome reasonable doubt, the way you overcome the hole, the way you know that the cat ate the mouse as opposed to the mouse escaping, is you put a videotape on the box, a video camera on the box. And if you watch things with a video camera, you know what happened. And your concern over reasonable doubt in this case is assuaged by having not one, but two videos from two different angles of what occurred, and by having multiple taser cam tapes, and you will have the transcripts in there. When they said we're trying to hide things from you, we're the ones that admitted all of these tapes into evidence so that you could take them back and you could look at them as many times as you want, and you'll have the transcripts to look at as well. So if you can't hear it, you can see it in the transcript what happened. We want you to have all of the evidence. And that makes the difference in this case. That's how you know the mouse did not escape out the little hole. The cat ate the mouse because you had a video camera on the box the entire time. In addition to the two videotapes, we have what is the evidence that they behaved in an unreasonable manner? You know, we have put on evidence about the two open spaces officers, McDaniel and Hernandez, but not to criticize the officers. Maybe they could have handled it differently and this wouldn't have all gone the way it did. We put them on to show you what is reasonable behavior when somebody pulls a knife on a police officer. And there are two of them there, and they both have to protect each other. And they were closer than any of the police officers that were prosecuting. They said they were within arm's length. Remember, they were patting down Mr. Boyd, and he turned around with both knives like this. And what was the reasonable response? It was not to shoot him. Neither Hernandez or McDaniel shot Mr. Boyd. They both did what they'd been trained to do, which is create distance to back up and keep their guns at the low ready. That is the reasonable response. Not tricking the guy into coming down and then charging up after him with a dog and a taser and a rifle. That's not the reasonable response. And you decide, not their training, not their rules, you decide as the jury of Albuquerque citizens what is reasonable. I'm going to go through all these points. Let me just address the attack by Mr. Bregman. This is what we're trained to do in law school. If you don't have the facts, you argue the law. If you don't have the law, you argue the facts. If you don't have either and there's a videotape in the case, you attack the other side. And that's what's happening in this case, and it's happened throughout. I stand by what we said. The things I've made mistakes on, I've told you exactly where I made the mistake. Paid experts versus free experts. Our people were paid. He is right about one thing. This is the second time I've said he's right. This is the most unusual prosecution ever, because usually the cops are on the side of the prosecutor. They're trying to get the person convicted. It should come as no surprise to any of you that when they put Jeff Stone in the horrible position of investigating his buddies, people that he worked with, that he knew, that he called by their first name in their statement, that he was in a horrible position. And I don't want to fault Jeff because, again, he didn't have any choice. They assigned him to do this, and he did the best he could. But it should come as no surprise to you that every police officer that they brought in here tried to do what they could as a corrections officer. That's how it works. We would have loved to not have to hire any experts to do what ordinarily happens in an investigation. What ordinarily happens when the APD is investigating somebody, they go out and they're the ones that do the scene recreation. They didn't even do that here. They didn't try to figure out whose gun fired which bullet. I would have much preferred that than having to hire Mr. Tess to come and do the whole recreation because APD didn't do it. We would have usually they do the ballistics matching. They did not. We had to hire somebody outside the department to try to even match the bullet that was that came out of Mr. Boyd's shoulder. So I wish we didn't have to hire outside people. But maybe that's the problem with having people investigate their own. You need to have an outside agency investigate these folks. Why didn't he lay down towards them? You know darn well that if Mr. Boyd had laid this way, they would have shot him anyway, and they would have used that as the excuse of him coming towards them. That would have given them the last element that he was moving towards them, he was attacking them when he laid this way, and that's what you would be hearing here. And they would be saying, well, if he was really surrendering, why didn't he turn around and lay sideways or lay on the ground? You've heard about the slope there. You've heard about the difficulty to him standing on the slope and laying this direction. He turned to follow their instructions, to obey their orders, and to lay on the ground. Mr. Robles asked, what evidence do we have that shows Mr. Boyd was a peaceful, nonviolent man? Look at the instructions. That's not one of the elements of the offense. To convict them of second-degree murder. What we do have evidence of is on this day, at this time, he did not attack her. And you can't shoot somebody for having done anything in the past. They have to be a threat to you on this day. And he was not. He didn't give them the go signal by attacking them, and they should have stopped when he turned or turned his back. On both ends, they were wrong. The phantom step. Jeff Noble said, I've seen the video, there's no step toward him, is what Jeff Noble said over and over again. They showed him the video, there's no step towards him. You guys have that. He goes from side to side like this. He never makes a move towards them. You've got the other angle. Just take a look at it. But the other thing is, they can't have it both ways. Officer Pettis says, look, I didn't see that he had turned around. I looked over here, and I looked back at my scope, but I hadn't noticed that the Gap sweatshirt had turned, and it was no longer said Gap. And so I didn't see that he turned, and I shot, and so you can't blame me for that. They can't have that argument and then say, I didn't see him make a step, and in my statement, both of them, when they gave statements immediately afterwards, they both said, I never saw him come towards me, I never saw him lunge towards me, both of them said that in their initial statement 2 days later. And then say, well, just because they didn't see it, you should be allowed to consider it that he was attacking them. They can't have it both ways. Punishing them for following their training, that is not what we are doing. We are asking you to hold them accountable for not following their own rules in the reactive control line, for stepping over the line that they drew themselves. They violated their own rules, and that's what we're asking you to hold them accountable for. They said, and I'm glad that Mr. Robles admitted, yet we are proposing that you endorse anticipatory shooting. What Ron McCarthy proposed. If you get a feeling, you get a tingle, you don't like the way it looks, I'm coming towards you in a funny way, and I do something with my hand that you find suspicious, you get to shoot me. You can say, that woman was reaching into her purse, I thought she had a gun, so I shot her. That young teenager had his hand in his pocket. You know, I felt like he might be a threat. Can't really articulate it, just something about the way he looked, I don't know what it was, but I shot him, and That was okay because I was protecting myself. That is not where the line is. That is not where Albuquerque Police Department drew the line in 2014. And that is a dangerous place to draw the line. If that's where the line is, then nobody's safe. Because I can just, it's tingling. The way you look is making me tingle somehow. I'm going to shoot you because I just feel uncomfortable. And why the line is drawn is particularly apparent in this case. Why did Dom Perez say that he shot? Because I felt he was going to attack Officer Armstrong. And you see, the thing about videotape is it keeps rolling. And so we know that James Boyd did not attack Officer Armstrong. The thing that he feared, that he didn't wait until there was a step forward or a lunge forward even, the thing that he was required to wait for, when the videotape rolled, Mr. Boyd never did attack Officer Armstrong. Watch it and see him figure out, well, I guess I'm going to go to the hotel and say, don't make fun of people, and turn to follow their orders. And that's why you don't have anticipatory shooting. That's why there is the line right there that says, it's not enough that he has a knife, it's not enough that he threatens you. He has to do something to make good on that, to take some movement towards you. And by the way, Jeff Noble was the most honest cop in his courtroom. He said, that's the thing that they're missing, to tell them to go. And he didn't do it. And I looked at the videotape, he never moved towards them, he didn't attack them. And under those circumstances, this is where the line gets drawn. Not way back where Ron McCarthy said it should be drawn. Ron McCarthy started with the SWAT team the same year that the Dirty Harry, first Dirty Harry movie came out. Whole different time before there were cell phone cameras and people liked cops who said, make my day and things like that. These are different times. And police shouldn't be able to shoot on a hunch or on a feeling. I would ask you to hold them accountable for violating their own rule. Both on the goal, they shouldn't have gone, and then they should have stopped. What does justice look like in this case? Well, it should be justice for Mr. Boyd, too. And the decision, you know, the decision you make is being watched. And I welcome attention by both the police community and people who serve the homeless community, because I hope that you will be here to everyone. I'm turning this over to you, and I know you'll do a great job. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. McGinn.